This podcast was recorded on the date indicated with the link. The views and opinions expressed herein are as of the date recorded and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities. Such views and opinions may differ from those of DoubleLine Capital or its affiliates and are subject to change without notice. DoubleLine has no obligation to provide updates or changes. Welcome to Monday Morning Minutes, hosted by DoubleLine's fixed income asset allocation strategists and portfolio managers, Samuel Lau and Jeffrey Mayberry. Please direct any comments and suggestions to minutes@doubleline.com or see us on Twitter at @DLineMinutes.
Welcome to this week's episode of DoubleLine Monday Morning Minutes. I'm Jeff Mayberry here with Sam Lau.
Hey, hey.
Sam, we're recording just after the close today, July 8th. Pretty crazy week. One of the few weeks we've seen so far this year where there's a little bit of a difference in returns between the different sectors of the S&P. We went into earlier in the week feeling like we were in a recession, and now we're, as we kind of mentioned last week, on this cuspy side of things where we could go one way or the other, recession, I wouldn't say a strong growth, but maybe a little bit of growth. And it'll be interesting to see how things shake out as we get more data.
Yeah. A whole host of pretty good economic, or not good, but a lot of important data prints that came out this week. So let's take a look at the markets and see how they responded with the "where are we" section. And where we are is with the S&P 500. Strong week. It's up, close to week to date, up 1.9%, with almost a positive close every day this week, except for today, where it's down about 8 basis points. But strong performance for the week nonetheless. Leading the way was the consumer discretionary sector, as well as a strong technology as well, both up over 4%, with consumer discretionary up 4.5%, technology up 4.3%. The laggards this week were utilities down 2.8% and energy. It's becoming a little bit more of a familiar scene to see energy down with a negative print on a week-to-date basis, at least for the last month or so. But energy down 2.25% this week, still the only, or it is the only positive performer on a year-to-date basis for the sectors, up over 30% year to date still. Moving over to fixed income with treasuries, looks like the yield curve across the board is back above a three handle yield now after dropping below briefly last week and into part of this week here. The 2-year treasury note closed today with a yield of 3.1%. up 27 basis points over last Friday's close. The 10-year treasury is lower. It's at lower than the 2-year yield at 3.08, so 2 basis points under the 2-year yield with the 2-10s inverted. This is the fourth consecutive day that we've seen an inversion for the 2-10s spread, so every day this short holiday week. So I guess we'll take a look to see if we get that ever important fifth consecutive day of inversion on Monday, when people hopefully are all back up on the desk after this holiday week. We'll see if that trend continues here.
And we'll see whether people change their tune on a sustain has to be, you've heard some people say you got to be inverted for 2 weeks or 10 business days. We'll see how things work out and whether we continue inverted or whether you get a little bit of a slight positive steepening of the yield curve, and I guess we won't know for a couple of years whether people have to change their metric.
Yeah, but one thing we do know is we have already started to see the "this time is different" type of arguments come through. So we'll check this, and then the we'll also check for the 3-month 10-year spread as the kind of the corroboration, because one thing is, seems to have held up pretty consistently going back to the 70s is, the the 3-month tenure tends to be the best indicator with, if I recall correctly, I don't think it had any false positives when it goes inverted, but definitely when you see the 2s and 10s and the 3-month tenure in both invert, then that's pretty much the signal that a recession is probably, you know, as you said, you know, maybe up to 2 years away, but generally speaking, let's say 12 to 18 months is when it falls in. Once you get both of those, both of those spreads inverted there for 5 consecutive days or more. So with that, let's wrap it up with the long bond here. The bond closed the week with a yield of 3.26%, up 15 basis points for the week there. So what that translated to for the various fixed income sectors that we looked at is it looks like the fixed income sectors are confirming that equity risk rally with high yield and bank loans both positive up on the week, with high yield up 1.2% and bank loans up 60 basis points respectively there. And then looking over at the traditional sectors of that underlie the Bloomberg U.S. bond aggregate, they're all negative, with treasuries leading the way down here, down 1.3% on a week-to-date basis, and the aggregate itself down 1.1% for the week.
Yeah, and looking at EM year-to-date now down below 20, down, you know, over 20%. So, you know, we don't really look at it in terms of a bear market in the fixed income land. That 20% indicator, but if you were, you would say show that EM fixed income down in a bear market.
Yeah, that's a pretty tough hole to dig yourself out of to get out of there when we're talking about fixed income here. Looking across the board here with the commodities, the Bloomberg Commodity Index was down 1% on a week-to-date basis, still up 17%, but a big chunk of that positive print has been taken away, you know, through which really began, I guess, in June of last month is when we started to see some more of the weakness that was starting to be priced into the commodity market on some of the fears of economic slowdowns that you were talking about a little bit before, Jeff. But also looking at WTI crude oil, looks like it's back above $100 a barrel, having dropped down to 98.5 earlier this week. WTI crude oil closed the week at 104.6 on the front month contract here, so down 3.5% over the previous week.
That was interesting. I was on my call earlier this week, and someone said, "Oh, you know, we've had a modest drop in commodities," and I looked at it and I was like, "It feels like it's way more than a modest drop." And I looked, you know, peak to current trough, we were down about 15%. You know, in commodities over in the BCOM and broad-based commodities. So I guess in the commodity land, a 15% drawdown is a modest.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of feels like it was worse than that, but,
yeah.
It's been a pretty big drop for the commodities as we've seen over the past few weeks here. One thing that has popped back up is Bitcoin. It's up 12% on the week here and living life again above, at least for now, above the $20,000 mark. Right now, at the time of this recording, it's at, let's call it $21,750 a coin here. So still down, you know, pretty significantly. You know, you said, you know, EM was down over 20%. That sounds like a big number, but then, you know, it's not comparing the same thing, but when you talk about Bitcoin here, it's down over 50%. So just kind of put things in a little bit of perspective there for us.
But yeah, I would think that you know, looking back at the week start of the second half of the year, you know, earlier in the week there was a lot of talk about recession. You didn't really feel, but you weren't really seeing it in the stock market. So it was interesting to see that. You know, whether the stock market is right and things are getting better or continuing along this pace, or whether people are really looking at a recession, or whether we're in a recession right now, or, you know, technical recession as people keep saying, or how things are going to shake out from here. But certainly we're at a point where I could see it go either way.
Yeah, it's since you're calling it either way right now, let's mark a fresh start to mark the second half of this year and put this first half behind us and see what the next 6 months have in store for us. Hopefully, it's not a continuation of the same trend that we saw.
Nothing like putting the worst start to the year, just put it away, forget about it, and let's move forward.
Yeah, let's brush it off. So with that, well, why don't you kick us off on what happened in macro land this past week?
Even though it was a short week, there was a lot of data points out there. We did get the S&P Global Services PMI number came in at 52.7. That was higher than the 51.6, the number that was expected. And then we got the ISM numbers that surprised up to the upside also at 55.3 versus a 54.0 expectation. So the services side of things continues to stay very strong in the U.S. here. On Wednesday, we also got the JOLTS job openings number. That number was expected to be 11 million. It actually came in at 11.25 million. That's down from 11.4. So, you know, the Fed's starting to get a little bit of a decrease in the job openings like they want to see. And it's actually the lowest number of job openings since November of 2021. So a little bit of a softening there, but not really that much. We got the Fed meeting minutes also on Wednesday. Really nothing to see here. It seems like a lot has happened in the last 6 weeks since the I guess this hasn't been 6 weeks. It hasn't been since the Fed meeting. There's been a lot going on. So really, there was really nothing to see. Old news from the Fed meeting minutes. Also, if you noticed that we didn't talk about the ADP report last week, because we looked at the report historically, and it hasn't been a very good predictor of the non-farm payroll number. ADP has noted that there was some, I guess it was issues with this methodology, and so they. They said there's no ADP report today. There's no ADP report. They're not expecting one next month. They're really looking at the end of August, early September for them to announce an update or to release its updated report and its retooled methodology. Something that we were ignoring. Maybe hopefully when they come back, it'll be something that they look back and say, hey, it's better. It's a better predictor of non-farm payrolls. But you know, knowing us, Sam, we're really going to have to wait for it to prove itself.
Yeah, I'm already looking forward to the next revision after this. So,
speaking of the payroll report, this morning we did get the non-farm payroll report. That number came in at 372,000. I was expected to be only 265,000, so a big beat there. Down slightly from the 390,000 last month, but still a very good, very strong positive number from the terms of the labor market. The unemployment rate, the U3 number came in flat at 3.6% as expected. So no pickup there on unemployment side. You did see a little bit of a pickup in the labor force participation rate. That number actually had expected to rise to 62.3 from or 62.4 from 62.3. But actually surprised at the downside at 62.2. The good news, though, is that the U6 underemployment rate actually fell from 7.2% to 6.7. So still continue to be a very strong labor market there. If you look at the number of unemployed from that survey, that number is 5.9 million. So if you take the JOLTS number at 11 million, 11.25 million divided by the number of unemployed 5.912, that gives you that ratio that Powell is looking at, still a very consistent 1.9. So strong labor market, really something that the Fed, you know, we started to see the probability of a Fed 75 basis point hike. That probability dipped a little bit earlier this week, back up to almost 100% probability of them hiking here in a week and a half. Or I guess it's two and a half weeks. Keep getting my days all mixed up here. But they, 2.5 weeks from now, when the Fed meets again, really looking at the strong labor market from here, and the probability of a 75 basis point hike is pretty high.
Yeah. The one thing back on the payrolls report that struck me as a little bit odd, but actually maybe, I guess, neutral to positive, is that even though the labor force did decline, we did the result that was a result of a number of individuals, I think it's about 300,000 plus individuals dropping out of the employed bucket there. But I guess the neutral to positive news is that they didn't go into the unemployed bucket there. It said it looks like they may have I don't want to say dropped out of the labor force, but they aren't in the labor force anymore, but it may be for voluntary reasons. Typically with that people see it as a retirement type of scenario when they bypass the unemployment and go straight out of the labor force in general. So that might be a positive there, but I guess we'd have to dig through the numbers a little bit more to see what's going on within there. But overall, it seemed to be an okay unemployment report there from this perspective, despite that drop in employed in the employed bucket.
Yeah, I think that it's one of those things where you can choose the story that you want to spin based on the data, based on if you want to look at the strong non-farm payroll number, you're like, okay, things are okay. If you want to look at the number of, you know, the household survey, things are not good. So, you know, if you're looking on Twitter and you're like, everything is everything's all terrible, then you must, you know, have a bunch of bearish Twitter followers, or you're following a bunch of bearish Twitter people. And if you have the good side of things, we always like to have a mix to just try to get both sides of the story.
That's right. So pretty heavy schedule this past week. Next week seems a lot lighter in terms of quantity, but it does seem heavy in substance. On Wednesday, we get the CPI for the month of June, and the expectations on the month over month basis is a positive 1.1% on the headline and plus 0.6% on the core segment there. And looking at what we have here is the next print for the year-over-year basis is 8.8% headline CPI, up from 8.6. So I guess if that comes to fruition, then peak inflation was not in May. It looks like it.
Yep.
Hopefully it'll come in June here. But on the core basis, it looks like 5.8% year-over-year is the expectation, which is down from the previous May's print of 6.0% there. So we'll see how much this pullback, a little bit of pullback that we saw in June for energy towards late June into early early July here, maybe have in store for the following print after this. But we'll see if the headline expectations there continue to take seed. And then on Thursday, we have producer price index, the PPI for June, with an expectation on the month over month basis of 0.8% on the month over month, and year over year is expected to be down to 10.4%, down from 10.8% the prior period. And then on Friday, we have retail sales, so a good gauge for the consumer side of things. And this is for the month of June, and the expectation is that we're getting a positive 0.9%. These are month over month numbers after having a negative 0.3% in May. So a strong retail sales there could be a positive contributor there for the upcoming GDP print.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see, like, the Atlanta Fed GDP now numbers at a negative 1.2% for the second quarter. That's at least, I think you know, we had breaking news on the podcast last week, Sam, when you said it was came in, like, I think it was a negative 2.1. So negative 1.2, certainly looking like the trend maybe is up, and maybe it's a long way to go to get to that, a very, very slight positive number. But, you know, a strong retail sales number certainly could help that out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to see a little bit of that improvement. We'll see if it holds.
Yeah. What if we get a positive 0.1, people will say, okay, no recession's over. So I guess it wouldn't be a 1 month recession, but, you know, is that going to make it a case where people are going to get a little more bullish on the economy?
Yeah, I guess all eyes will be on this second quarter final number here that we get.
Yep. Well, I mean, let's keep it short this week, Sam. Short week, short podcast. I think that about wraps it up.
Yeah, that's thanks everyone for listening to us out there today on Monday Morning Minutes. Please don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already, so you don't miss an episode, and you can always pick us up each Monday before the bell. We're available on your favorite platforms out there for listening to podcasts. And if you can't find us, go ahead and send us an email at minutes@doubleline.com, or you can hit us up on the Twitter at DLine Minutes to send us your questions, comments, or suggestions.
Yeah, Ben, don't forget, you can find more information about DoubleLine at our website, DoubleLine.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/DoubleLine Capital. Just dropped the newest edition of the Channel 11 News Show. Went through a mid-year review. So if you wanted to see some charts to go along with the same topics that Sam and I were just discussing, that's the spot for you. And then don't forget to subscribe to Sam's other podcast, The Sherman Show, which just this morning dropped its latest episode with Mike Green. I listened to it already. It was a very, you know, very good discussion, wide ranging, talking about, you know, kind of what they do and kind of Mike's macro view. And I think he said we're already in a recession camp. So, it's certainly makes me think about whether we are in a recession or not.
Yeah, time will tell. I mean, I guess if we're looking for that official book of record, the National Bureau of Economic Research, that tends to be that they tend to call the recession after the recession's already happened. So, you know, a couple of months to quarters afterwards. So if you're waiting for that, I guess we have some time for that before it comes out.
Probably, the conspiracy theorists will say they won't say it's a recession until after election time.
Yeah, I think I already heard someone say that just today. So we'll see.
That's right.
Politics creeping into everything we do.
That's right. So make sure to follow Sam and Jeff Sherman there on Twitter at Sherman Show Pod. Hope everyone has a great week.
Yeah, thanks everyone, and good luck out there.
The audio presentation represents DoubleLine's intellectual property. No portion of this presentation may be published, reproduced, transmitted, or rebroadcast in any media in any form without express written permission of DoubleLine. DoubleLine has no obligation to provide any updates or changes. To receive permission from DoubleLine, please contact media@doubleline.com. Neither DoubleLine nor any of its affiliates makes any representation or warranty as to the accuracy or completeness of the statements or any information contained in this podcast and any liability therefor, including in respect of direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage, is expressly disclaimed. DoubleLine is not providing any financial, economic, legal, accounting, or tax advice in this podcast. The receipt of this podcast by any listener is not to be taken as constituting the giving of investment advice by any DoubleLine entity or individual to that listener, nor to constitute such person a client of any DoubleLine entity. The portfolio risk management process includes an effort to monitor and manage risk, but does not imply low risk.
Copyright 2021 DoubleLine Capital.